This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, hello there on the first day of summer.
Is it the first day of summer? It's also the longest day of
the year. Yes, indeed.
And all the days get shorter after today.
Ha-ha. Boo.
Be wintertime by next week.
Yeah. Don't say that.
The sun's going away, so don't get used to it.
Long live summer.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening. This is a garden show, hopefully. And I'll talk about gardens, plants, lawns, landscaping, fertilization, watering, pruning. And if you have any questions about anything in your yard, you can call 673-4464, and we'll get you right on the air, and you can ask your question, and I will give you the correct answer. Unless I don't know it, then I won't give you any answer at all.
Can I give you an update on my China vine?
Your China vine, that's wild vine that's growing all over your yard?
Yep. Yeah.
What's the problem?
Came home yesterday and somebody had weed eaten, you know, just...
Right down, huh?
Right down to the ground. I don't know who would do that, but...
Probably somebody who doesn't like China vines.
Apparently. I think
it'll be back in a week. Don't worry.
I think it will be because they didn't get all of it.
Well, if they didn't dig up the root, you're good.
I don't think, yeah.
Yeah.
I showed you a picture.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's going to come back.
Yeah. When it's growing, how much does it grow in a day, say?
Oh, seems like about 6 inches some days. I mean, it
really?
Just... I leave for work, I come back, and there it is, spread out even more.
That's amazing.
It was starting to look kind of nice, so I thought I'd leave it alone.
There's a nursery up there in Sutherland. You ought to go up there and ask them if they'd come down and identify a plant for you in your yard that's a crazy ground cover. Or it gets tall, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this last time, when they it just kind of spread out on the ground. It didn't go all over. It just kind of... Huh. I don't know.
Well, you've got the weirdest vine in all of Oregon, I think.
Probably China, too.
Exactly. They import them. Or export them.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you again for listening. And like I say, questions are fair game. And we'll talk about gardening and plants, landscaping, watering, fertilizing, how to prune, when to prune, and what to prune, when. How's that for... whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm going to start out with lawns. First, before I start out with lawns, I am the former owner of Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, and the new owner asked me to teach a bonsai class in July.
Nice.
Now, she hasn't fixed the date. I think she said the second week in July. And it will be done in our demonstration garden where there's a lot of shade and grass and it's cool. And we'll go through any questions, of course, and have some plants that I will demonstrate on how to cut them and when to cut them and, you know, just show you, hey, this is what we do, this is how you do it, and this is why you do it. And if you're interested, you can call Wintergreen Nursery and ask when the class is going to be. And I invited her on the show again today, and she declined.
But
I'm going to try to drag her in here next week and talk about it a little bit. And she can give you all the particulars. But in the meantime, call Wintergreen Nursery and ask for Jennifer and about the bonsai class. And she will fill you in on the details, hopefully. She hasn't filled me in on all the details yet. I think it's August 8th. I mean July 8th, but I'm not quite sure. I might have messed up on the date.
She'll call in and let us know, maybe.
I hope so.
All right. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. A while back, you were talking about a ground cover that was Irish something, an Irish moss that you could walk on. Could you...
Irish moss?
Or something like that. Yeah, you could walk on it and use it as grass.
Yeah, Irish moss, and there's Spanish moss too, but the Irish moss is a low green ground cover. It looks like a tiny miniature lawn, I wouldn't play football on it or anything like that, but you can walk across it, and it stays very low to the ground. It's very, very hardy, and it's basically for smaller areas. You know, I wouldn't make a whole lawn out of it, and it'd be an awful lot of work and an awful lot of plants. But if you want to decorate and highlight some of your beds with it, and it likes, you know, if you could give it a little bit of afternoon shade, not full sun from sunrise to sunset, it won't do as well. I don't know. I don't think it'll die, but it won't look as lush as it should. So morning sun, afternoon shade is your best place to plant it. And it's good with a rock garden if you have some boulders and rocks and stuff in there and you want to kind of decorate it up. If you plant those around those rocks, they, you know, kind of there's a big contrast and they look good. And they're, you know, really tough. Does that help?
Does the acidity from like a cedar tree and that, would that hurt it? Or
no,
maple?
No. If you had it near either one of those trees, and when the needles drop out of the cedar tree or the maples drop out of the maple tree, the leaves drop down to the ground, you'd want to, you know, just kind of take a whisk broom or something or a blower and get them, you know, don't let them get smothered the whole winter. That might be a setback, but, you know, just blow them off and they'll be fine. They're easy.
Well, thank you very much, sir, and do enjoy listening to you every week.
Well, thank you for listening every week, and I appreciate your question.
Okay, hon. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. What's our number again, Mike?
673-4464 is the number. Any questions, fair game. You know, even out of the garden area. Maybe you don't want to hear my political views, but that's okay.
No, I do.
No, you don't. Not on the air, we don't. Everybody turn off their radios, except the wild ones.
Mm.
Yeah. But the bonsai class is going to be fun. I've done some over the years, and it's folks that want to learn what it's all about, and how to cut, when to cut, and you know, what types of plants will do best. Most any plant will do best, but I like the slow-growing evergreen type, because I do have Japanese maples that I have bonsaied over the years, and they look fine. They're, you know, no leaves in the winter, but in the spring and summer and fall, you know, they look really good, like a little tiny miniature tree that's very old. And, you know, the art of bonsai is very, very old. We got another call?
We do.
Okay, put them on.
Good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Yeah, I got a fertilization question. Is it better to fertilize my vegetable garden in the mornings or the evenings?
I would say in the morning, and just don't get any on the plants and go light. And then water it in so it gets activated and gets down into the root system. And don't do it more than once a month.
Okay. And it's liquid, so I mix it with water already.
Oh, it's liquid. Okay. Yeah. Well, you could probably do it more than once a month then. You might do it once a week with a liquid and just make sure you don't overdose it.
Okay. Thank you much.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
Oh, shoot, just missed it. There was another one coming in. Come on in, babe.
Yeah, please call again. This guy here hit the wrong button. I don't do the buttons. I just do the talking. Golly.
Don't let him fool you.
Yeah, right. 673-4464. Please call. It's okay. But I was going to start out with the lawns again, because, you know, as I'm driving around looking, I'm already seeing lawns that are turning brown and there's water on during the middle of the day and that kind of thing. Well, water in the middle of the day is not doing very good because most of it's evaporating, especially on a day with, you know, it's 80 degrees or something like that. And so 50% of the water may be getting on the lawn. That's all we have. Call again?
We do. Okay. Thanks for calling. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi, Mike. I was a quick question on that lady that called about the Irish moss.
Yeah.
Well, if I have a dog, if the dog goes to the bathroom on it, will it kill it?
Eventually, yes. Yeah. You know, I don't know.
Even if you clean it up, you know,
well,
right
if you clean it up and rinse
well,
it off, you'll be fine. But if you let an hour or more, then, you know, it's already soaked into the plant or into the roots of the plant. and you know, if it's the urine, and if it's the other one, well, you better get a broom, get it off as soon as you can, and rinse it really, really well, and it'll be okay.
Okay, because I know where I want to put it. Sometimes the dog gets in that area, and I thought, well, I better make sure.
So just introduce the dog to the plant and say, hey, this is not your spot, Rover.
Right.
You're right. It works every time.
Okay. It does, especially if you have some of that stuff that you spray on things that says, stay away from here.
Mm.
So, okay, well, thanks a lot, Mike. I appreciate it. I love listening.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's three in a row. We're on a roll.
Let's keep them rolling.
Yeah, keep those calls rolling. It's okay. I like to answer the questions. And once in a while, I don't even know the answer. How's that grab you? So try to stump me.
What's the number again?
673-4464.
There you go.
Get you right on, okay?
Yes.
But lawns. Lawns are also very nice to have. They look great with proper care, of course, like, you know, fertilizing and proper watering, but they are expensive in the long run. They're more expensive than, say, a vegetable garden. And so you can convert that lawn into a vegetable garden or part of that lawn. It doesn't have to be huge, but something that you can handle with minimum labor, like no more than 5 hours a day. No more than maybe a half an hour every other day or something like that if you stay right on top of it. I think my wife, she's the garden tender at our place, and she goes up there and putters every day a little bit. But it's weed-free, it looks good, and of course there's no lawn surrounding it, just dead grass from the wilderness. But we built these raised beds, which makes it a whole lot easier. They're about 3 feet tall, five feet wide, 6 feet wide. And, you know, there's very little weed problems. You know, a few of them will pop up once in a while. But it's easy to pick the produce. It's easy to water. It's easy to take care of. Anything in the ground is a little bit harder because there's a lot of root systems. Even if you take a lawn out, there's still roots in there and there's still weed seed in there from, you know, long ago when Columbus came or something. And you start doing a garden, all of a sudden you're saying, goodness gracious, where did all this stuff come from? But if you stay on top of it, you'll be fine. And when I say it depends on the size, but you know, usually about 15 minutes every other day is ample labor in that any kind of a garden, unless it's an acre. Yeah, you know, maybe it's Broside Farms or something. But there, you can convert that lawn. That's the thing, into that vegetable garden. And again, it doesn't have to be huge. It doesn't have to be as big as the lawn was, but something, like I say, that you can handle with minimum labor. And a garden's not going to need a huge amount of labor or water or fertilizer, so you're going to be save money right off the bat right there. The labor part of it in the beginning and getting it prepared is going to be that which is most intense and laborious, et cetera. But once you get that going, and if you keep it year after year, it actually gets easier. And if you add some compost each year and do all that. And as I said in the past, even a garden that's only like 10 by 10, 100 square feet, you can grow all the veggies you can eat unless you have 10 children. And then you have to have a bigger garden. But, you know, you can produce about $1,000 worth of produce in 100 square feet if you do it correctly. You don't space out the plants too far apart and that kind of thing. And they will produce very, very well. And if you don't have a yard, you can garden in pots. You buy some big old plastic pots. They don't have to be fancy pots if you don't want to spend the money. But the big old nursery pots, you can go to a nursery and say, hey, you got any used big pots that I could buy? Normally, there's a good supply of those hanging around. You can buy, say, 10 of them for, you know, maybe $50. and each one of those, if they're like what they call 10-gallon size, you can easily put 3 tomato plants in that. You can put zucchini in that, and it'll grow cucumbers. I've never tried to grow corn in a big pot, but any of these smaller vegetables, lettuce, beets, tomatoes, green pepper, You could have a really good garden in just pots, and it's a whole lot easier to take care of. The initial labor might be a little bit long-term, but once you got it, once you put the soil in and you have good soil that you're putting in, you know, good composty stuff, it's going to grow a heck of a garden, and it's going to grow very quickly. So that's another alternative if you don't want to take out your lawn, and you can have your garden on your driveway, for crying out loud, or on your sidewalk. We got another call?
We have a break.
A break? Okay, I'll be back. More garden stuff. Hang on.
Right here, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right. Beautiful day in the valley. It's the first day of summer. I love it.
Yeah, and it's going to go downhill from here.
No. The eternal optimist over here.
Well, you know, I'm just talking time-wise.
Yeah, I know.
That's all. I mean, yeah. We've had a great spring and summer so far. It's just been a good temperature. It's a little cool in the morning, but you know what? In the afternoon, when it's only about 72, 75, and the sun is shining, you know, your brain's not going to get fried because it's not 99 or 206.
No. And it definitely feels good on the old bones.
It does. It does. And man, I'll tell you what, you can spend some time outside and work in your yard. So I'm talking about converting lawns to gardens and all that. So how in the heck do you get rid of the lawn, and how do you turn that lawn into a garden? Well, first, you have to remove the grass. So there's a couple different ways, well, maybe about three different ways that I can tell you real quick. One, you could rent a sod peeler to remove the grass. What it does, it's a machine that goes along and undercuts the turf, and it rolls it. It doesn't roll it, but it cuts it, and then when you've got, you can turn this thing, you can make figure eights out of it, you can do a square, you can do whatever you want. And you rent that from like Roseburg Rentals. And it's very quick. It's a heavy machine, but once you get it rolling, it goes, and it does a very clean job. You're down to bare soil at that point in time. That's probably the easiest way. It may be the most expensive, but it's the easiest. The other way is to, you could just till the existing grass if it's loose enough, if it's tillable, if it's damp enough, you can get a rototiller in there. But you're going to be tilling it at least three times to make sure you get it deep enough and broken up enough, because anytime you've had a grass for any length of time, the ground underneath gets hard. It's compacted because there's people walking on it, playing football on it, having picnics on it, all that kind of stuff. So over the years, it gets compacted. And so if you just rototiller, you're going to do it, but you're going to work a little bit harder than the first method that I just said. Mm. And the last most laborious method is to get a flat shovel out there and put a good edge on it with a file so it's good and sharp, and then just scrape it all out. And it's, like I say, it's going to take you a while, but it's a good workout, and you'll feel so much healthier and tired when you're done doing all that. And then you're going to have to till it, but you're tilling bare ground at that time. So there's a lot less work in that respect. And you get that ground really nice, nicely tilled to about, say, 4 to 6 inches at least, and add your compost material, whether it's peat moss or fine grind bark mulch or potting soil or all three, and then re-till it one last time to mix it thoroughly. And even sand works good. Anything you put in there that's better than the clay soil base is going to promote good drainage and good root development on any plant that you put in there. And garden plants, they're not noted for their deep root systems, but they spread, and if you have a good well-tilled ground, they're gonna get out there and root in very quickly and grow well. And like I said, the other time, the other thing is, you know, if you do it in pots, you fill it with a good planting mix, and you don't have to do much work at all. You're not going to have, unless you have, you know, 25 pots full of plants, you're not going to have a huge garden. But it's easily controlled, easily watered, easily fertilized, and you can grow a great crop. I've done it before, like in a 10-gallon plastic pot. Put three tomato plants in that thing, and all three of them do really well and produce a heck of a lot of tomatoes, more than you can probably eat in 6 months, for crying out loud. So don't do more than three or four pots full. But that's what you got to do. The initial part is hard. If it's never been a garden before, it's going to be difficult to get it that way. But year after year after year, if you continue, it's a lot easier because it's already been prepared. And then after, in the first year, after you've taken all your vegetables out and all that, and we have maybe a little bit of rain, if you could give it one more tilling before it got to be monsoon season, then it's almost prepped for the following year. Very little hard labor will be involved the following spring because you already pre-tilled it after you harvested all your vegetables. So, you know, once you get it going, it works well. And as I said many, many times, in 100 square feet, you can grow $1,000 worth of vegetables. And 100 wow. square feet is 10 by 10 or 5 by 20. You know, you do the math and figure out what shape and size you want.
But that's a lot of veggies.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's amazing. I've done it, and it's crazy. I think my boxes, my raised beds, I might have, oh, gosh, one is 20 feet long and 5 feet wide. So there's 100 square feet, and the other one is a little bit smaller, but it's probably 75 square feet, and those two grow more vegetables than we can handle. So we give the excess to the kids and whoever might want them, but we're eating fresh vegetables, you know, clear into December, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Except for corn. I tried corn the first year we did it. Corn didn't do so hot. but all the other things, the strawberries, they're magnificent. They love it. They're spreading all over the place, and there's tons of strawberries, and they're big, and they're beautiful. And then my wife puts a few little flowers here and there to attract more bees and pollinators that way. So they're going from the flowers to the plants, and, you know, you eat a tomato and it tastes like a flower, for crying out loud. not really. I'm a joking there, okay? Yeah. But the more you work it, the better off it's going to be. And if you add a little bit more every year, a little bit more fine grind old mulch or potting soil, and like I said earlier, a little bit of sand, because the sand is coarse and is larger than clay particles by, I don't know, 10 times or something like that. And when you till that all together, you get excellent drainage. It doesn't compact. Even if you walked on it, it'll compact a little bit, but that sand keeps it loose. The old mulch keeps it loose, and that's what grows the vegetables great. If you go out to Garden Valley and you look at the professional farmers out there, their ground is gorgeous, and it's because they've worked it 100 years maybe, or 75 years, like Cruz and those folks, and they grow. Oh, gosh, I was at Brosize today, and that place, he's got cherry orchards along the road right before you get to his fruit stand.
Yeah.
There, I saw maybe 30 people out there with ladders picking cherries. I mean, it was crazy. And then I pulled into his fruit stand.
Yeah.
Place was packed. I mean, there was probably 11 or 12 cars parked right up by the fruit stand. I had to park clear on the end, almost into the orchard, so I just wanted to see what they had.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they've got and lots of cherries. People are buying tons and tons of cherries, and they're gorgeous cherries. They're big, good-looking, juicy cherries.
I love cherries.
Well, go to Brosai. He might have some left by tomorrow. I'm not sure. But there are other cherry orchards around, too. I think Cruz has them, and, you know, there's a lot of you-pick places here. But Brosai's, I go by that every morning, so it's,
convenient.
Yeah, it's convenient. I want to see how the things are doing because he's got his crops right along the road there.
Mm-hmm.
And I watch the growth and see what he's growing and that kind of thing. So I'm being educated at the same time.
Was there anything else there besides cherries?
He had some pumpkins out there. He had some cantaloupe. He had
cantaloupe.
Oh yeah, I don't think he grew that though. I think he bought it from somebody else, but he had it. It's like the initial opening, if you will. He's probably been open maybe a week or something like that. So it's a little sparse on variety and numbers, but. Not on cherries, baby. I mean, people have big old, the flats that, the cardboard boxes that are just flat. They're only about, 4 inches tall or something, but they're, 20 by 15. And they were just filled with cherries, and people were putting them up there. They weigh them, and then they, X dollars for that. And they had buckets, guys and their wives were walking around with buckets full of cherries, and there was still a whole lot of cherries on the trees.
Jeez,
I don't know how long it's going to last, but he has, several acres, and I'm not sure, maybe 20 acres of cherries. They're not all in one spot. Some are on one side of the road, some are on the other side of the road, but and he's got all the ladders. All you got to do is get a ladder and get a bucket and go out there and go for it. Yeah.
Now we'll send him a bill for the advertisement.
I will. I'll stop by and get the cash. We'll split it. Oh, gosh. But gardening, it's good. It's good for your, it's good exercise, and it's good for your mind, It gets you away from the tube. It gets you away from the office. It gets you away from traffic. It's quiet. It's nice. And you're doing something constructive. I mean, it's a real positive thing to do. And if you do it right, it's not laborious to the extent that you just want to give up, unless you plant something way too big, which I have done. Well, this size is good, but man, if I did one five times that size, that'd be better.
Yeah.
And we planted it, and then when it started growing and producing, I couldn't keep up with it. And so what we had in the back of the nursery out there was just tons of stuff. So we were putting them in paper bags, and as customers came in, say, "Would you like some vegetables? They're free." Oh yeah, we hand them a bag of potatoes or a bag of tomatoes or some
nice.
Corn, and they're going, "Wow, thanks, that's good." It's what we got a call.
We do have a call and a break coming up. So good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike.
Yeah, where's Bro's Eyes?
Bro's Eyes, out, you go on Highway 42 toward Winston. Actually, that's 99 towards Winston, and you go across the South Umpqua River, and the next exit to the left is where Bro's Eyes is on that road. There's a turn lane, and you just go to the left. You're probably half a mile out of Winston. You can see Winston in the distance, and so you turn to the south, and about another quarter mile down there on the left. You can't miss it.
I think there's a sign there.
Signs down by his place, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Hey, okay, tell him I sent you, will you?
I will. Okay. Get a discount then?
Pardon?
Do I get a discount if I mention your name?
Oh, I don't think so.
Well, then why would I do that?
Well, because I want him. I want him to feel good.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for the call.
Oh man. Yeah. All right, we'll be right back. What's our phone number, Mike?
673-4464. Thanks for all the calls. I love them.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty. How's everything rolling over there on your side of the bench?
Well, it's okay. I don't see any weeds yet, so we're good to go. So I'm still on that garden thing. I'm just getting, and it's not too late. Don't worry about it. It's almost, the end of June, so what? You get it in. We got July, August, and September, which are warm, sunny months for the most part. So you can still plant it and go for it. And Now, once you get all this material in and you begin to plant your little seeds or vegetables, you know, because there's a lot of places that still have vegetable starts. I see them all over at the box stores, at Bi-Mart and nurseries and that kind of thing. You can still buy those vegetable starts, get them started and get them going. And once they're in, you want to lightly water them. And when I say lightly, I mean like a fine misty spray, and give them a good soak so they don't wilt and dry out. But you don't want to flood them. You don't want to have an inch and a half of water sitting on the ground ready to soak in, because that's not going to be good for them.
They got
to
breathe.
They got to breathe, exactly. They need oxygen as well as water. And, you know, but keep them damp. And as I've said 100 times in the past, stick your finger in the soil, feels damp, feels wet, leave it alone. If you put your finger in the soil, it's dry, give them a good shot of water. And also do it with a fine spray. And kind of a therapeutic thing. You know, you do it in the evening after the sun, the heat of the sun is gone. Don't do it at noon. Don't do it 2 o'clock in the afternoon, either early morning or after the sun goes down, or it's on its way down, because that way there's less evaporation and more water getting into the ground and into the root system than if the sun were at full tilt. Now, commercial farmers don't have a choice on that, because they've got so many acres that they're working with. They've got the water on 24/7, and you know, they move it around. But they're drawing it out of a river. If you're drawing it out of the city supply, it's going to cost you a few bucks. But they're drawing it out of the river, so it's not free, but it's not prohibitive on the cost. But drainage, like I say, all those things I told you to mix into the soil, that's going to give it the best drainage you can possibly get. That's going to give you the best soil and the best plant and the best growth and produce. So do it that way. Put your time into the ground preparation. Do the watering. And one guy just called on fertilization. Well, if you're using a dry vegetable garden type fertilizer, be very, very skimpy. Just a little bit around. Don't touch the stem of the plants. Just a little bit on each one. Scatter it out. And then you can see within a week, you will see a difference in the plant growth. You can tell, hey, yeah, the fertilizer did it. Well, you wait a couple more weeks and do it again. And maybe a little bit heavier, because the plant's a little bit bigger, therefore it's got more roots, and consequently it can handle it. But always go light. You can always add more, but once it's there, you can't take it back out. You know, simple stuff. Anybody can remember that. And you're good to go. And now on the potted ones, you have to be a little bit more careful, because you don't have as much soil volume to fertilize, so consequently you're going to use just smaller amounts, but the same kind of process. You wait a couple of weeks and maybe do a little bit again, a couple of weeks you do it again, and as they're beginning to set their fruit, their vegetables, whether it's peppers, tomatoes or something, you can start backing off on that completely. And and if you're doing the potted stuff, you can also use a liquid fertilizer, because liquid fertilizer, unless you go way overboard, you're not going to burn anything, and it passes right through, and the vegetables or flowers, whatever you got in those pots, are going to do really, really well. So like I say, keep the soil damp, but not like a swamp. Do the finger test, and you got it. And depending on your soil, you know, you may have to prep it a little bit better the following year if you didn't have the success you thought you might have this year, because you didn't till it deep enough or add enough compost material or soil amendments to it. And, of course, the other job is the hardest job. Keep the weeds out, for crying out loud. Don't water and fertilize those stinking weeds. They'll just pick up on it and grow like crazy.
They do well enough on their own.
Oh, yeah, they do well enough coming out of the cracks in the sidewalk, for crying out loud, you know. But pick them out as soon as they show up. I mean, when they're small, hey, just they come out very easily. The root system is not developed, and it takes you less time than rather, I'll get it next week. Yeah, next week you go, how in the world did that weed get that big in a week?
Yeah.
Well, because you're watering and fertilizing your garden, that's why.
Well, they love it.
And you're treating that weed like a tomato plant, and it's responding accordingly. So make sure that you get them when they're small. Don't spray. not around your food. Don't spray Roundup or weed killer of some sort. You don't want to contaminate the soil, and you don't want to hit any of your plants and kill those plants. Or maybe if they're already setting fruit, you don't want to get any on the tomatoes or the peppers or whatever you're growing. So it's a hand pulling kind of operation. That's the only way you can do it, you know, successfully and safely. And when you start doing that, the job's only going to take a few minutes every week. It's easy. Maybe 10 minutes, depending on the size of your garden. Maybe 5 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. So what? You're out there happy. The sun is shining. The plants are growing. And you whistle, you know, some kind of whistle oil work tune and pull those weeds. It's good. And because the weeds are going to grow in that nice plot that you prepared, that's what's going to happen. So you don't want to waste water and fertilizer on plants that you won't eat, huh? Makes sense, I hope. But this year, there are, like I said earlier, there are a lot of vegetable plants still for sale at your favorite nursery or box store. Bi-Mart has them. Wintergreen has them. You know, what's the two over here? Lowe's and
Home Depot.
Home Depot. Yeah, I knew there was another one there. But, you know, it's there. And by this time, some of those in them smaller containers are really root-bound. So make sure your garden's ready to go. Buy them and get them home very quickly and put them in. Get them down. Plant them a little bit deep. Don't just cover the roots and call it good, because they'll fall over. So plant them a couple inches deeper, and they'll grow more roots on the stems. It doesn't matter. It's okay. And the prices will probably be down, because they don't want to carry them through the summer and then just throw them away when somebody else could buy them. Now, if this is your first garden, you know, and you're buying the plants that are easy to grow and that you will eat, you know,
squash,
monkey squash or something. But for instance, here's a short list. I mean, tomatoes, it seems like everybody likes tomatoes. There might be some folks that are anti-tomato. These are my favorites: tomatoes, green peppers, lettuce, broccoli, carrots, and maybe a few exotics that you might want to try. But maybe a few cucumbers too, or squash. You like squash? They grow really well. You don't have to do anything to them.
Yes, they do.
But keep it simple the first time around, and that way you'll learn a whole lot, and you won't work yourself to death, and you won't waste anything.
All right. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hello.
Hello. I had a question about using drip systems on vegetable gardens. Is there a standard per gallon of mint or hour to use?
Drip systems, I don't know. I don't like them personally, because they plug easily, and you know, and you bury them, and you think the plant is getting the proper amount of water, and then you find out that if you have a row of 10 tomatoes, there's three of them that look like, what's wrong with those things? And you check out the drip thing, and it's just not working. You can try it, but you have to keep an eye on it and make sure that they're clean. Now, if you put the dripper, don't bury the dripper, but put it on the ground on top of the soil right next to the stem of the plant. That way it's an easy thing to see, and it may not plug up as easily. So, but when you bury them, it can have a tendency to plug up.
Okay. And at that point in time, just watch how much water is actually, or how well the plant is doing, I should say.
Yeah. Just you're watching it every day. You're seeing if there's a good change or a bad change. And a bad change might be it's getting no water at all because it's plugged, or it's getting way too much water. In that event, you want to modify the amount of water that's coming onto the plant. If it's too much, okay. If it's not any water at all, hey, like I say, it might be plugged up. You might have to take the little emitter off the end, the nozzle off the end, and kind of flush it out and see if there, you know, some debris of some sort got in it. Usually it's the little tiny nozzle that gets plugged.
Right. Okay. I got a limited water source, so I'm trying to be efficient. So.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, give it a shot. Alrighty. And see what you do, and if you have great success, call me back and tell me about it, will you?
Got a deal.
Okay. Thank you for the call.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
All right. We'll be right back. And our phone number once again, Mike?
673-4464. Love the calls. Keep them coming.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hey, look at that. We're up to 80 degrees now at 452.
No wonder I'm sweating in this air-conditioned room.
You looked a little damp.
That's because you threw that water on me.
No, tell.
He's a hard guy to do a show with, I'll tell you. Does all kinds of weird things. But we're talking gardens, and I do appreciate the calls, and I hope they've been very helpful to you because, you know, why call somebody who doesn't know anything, right? But if...
There's a joke there, but I got to leave it alone.
I know. Don't do it. and like I said, if this is your first time garden, you know, buy those plants that are easy to grow, that you will actually eat, and I already told you my short list, and then there's a few... things that my wife plants that I go, okay, I'll try that. Okay. But
anything you say, dear.
Yeah, whatever you want to feed me, I'll eat. But for the first time, keep it simple. If you've never done it before, no experience, you're a first timer, keep it simple. Keep it easy. And as you gain experience, you can plant a larger garden next year and try a few more different veggies. And if you start with a plot that's too large, it can turn into a stinking nightmare with too much work and too many vegetables to eat. And I know this from experience. Because one year at my former nursery, I thought, hey, the bigger the better. Let's go bigger, stay at home. I only grew 200 pounds of potatoes and 10 rows of corn.
Oh, Lord.
And that was only a small part of it. And then the harvest began. I didn't have enough time in a day to keep up. Unfortunately, I had some people helping me. We were sharecropping at that point. I said, pick all the corn you want, just take it home. I'm tired of eating stinking corn and potatoes every day. And we gave a lot of our produce to our nursery customers, and we could, because we couldn't eat the rest of it in a year, for crying out loud. And people would come in and buy a rhododendron or something, and you say, hey, would you like some potatoes, or would you like some tomatoes or peppers? Oh yeah. And we'd hand them a shopping bag, not full, but you know, half full of some different things, and wow, thank you so much, that's so good, you know. But we didn't want them to go to waste, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. And we had all we could eat, and this other family that was helping me, they had all they could eat. So, and you know, the kids and grandkids and all that. I tell you what, it's very productive.
You could have put a sign out front: homeless food here.
Well, at that time, there weren't any homeless around.
Oh, okay.
This is back in the olden days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, people took care of themselves.
Okay. Don't ruin my show now. So keep the garden under control. Keep it small. Enjoy it. Unless you're Mr. Brosi or Mr. Cruz, you know, they know what to do. They got the machinery and the people. But... we have some very wonderful fruit stands in our area, and what we don't grow at home, they will. So you can say, hey, happy gardening. Okay, we'll do that. You know, I stopped at, like I think I said this earlier, but I stopped at Brosi's fruit stand this morning.
Yeah.
And the place was jumping. I mean, jumping with people buying fresh cherries. There were cherry people all over the place. Boxes of cherry. There were ladders in every tree. There were three or four people picking those cherries, and they were gorgeous. They were beautiful.
Making my mouth water.
And Brosi is out there, you know, off of Highway 99 down Brosi Road there. And they've been at it for, you know, his dad.
Long time.
Yeah, long time. 50, 60 years or more.
At least, yes.
Yes. They probably have George's dad before him back in the 1800s doing it, for crying out loud. But it's great ground, and they got river access for irrigation, and they grow acres and acres of stuff. And since that's closest to our house, my wife shops there quite
Frequently.
Frequently and abundantly. Well, we got to eat more corn tonight. We had corn for the last 6 days in a row. Well, it's good, though. Look at it. Oh, okay. Oh, jeez. But the cherry pickers were out at Brosai, and it was so stinking crowded. I couldn't believe it. There were lines at two cash registers, and I walked through just to look and see what they had. And they had a few things. They had some watermelons. They had some cantaloupe. And, there were walnuts actually there. I don't know where they got the walnuts. Must have been last year's crop, but which are good. They're in the shell. But I just wanted to see how far advanced they were.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's just getting to that point where it's going to be rolling, and they're, like I say, the what do we call those I can't remember the name, where the people have their little booths at different places.
Fruit stands.
Well, not fruit stands,
no.
But you know, where there's about, you know, say 50 booths with different things and different people, and you know, there'll be
It's every Saturday. Farmer's market.
Saturday market, farmer's market. Yeah, whatever. And they have some good stuff there, too, because those are usually organic-type people and, you know, no chemicals in the garden. And they grow some great vegetables. So, you know, here we're really truly blessed with all the people that grow food. We can't starve in Douglas County. It's not a thing that's going to happen to us. So, but at Brosai, it was, like I said, there was watermelons, cantaloupe, beans, and lots of other veggies to choose from, and they're just starting to crank up by, you know, the end of this month and into July and August. They're just going to have a ton
booming.
Of stuff there. Oh yeah, I mean, this is, so the season has begun for fresh food, and I'm sure that soon there's going to be other vegetable stands. I haven't seen any other stands open yet. I went by Brosai's yesterday, and they were not, you know, still boarded up. I think it was yesterday or the day before. Still boarded up. I didn't see any activity there. Maybe they're getting ready on the inside. I'm not sure. But it's a cool thing. They got lots of things going. I mean, lots of stuff growing across the street. And it's, you know, some of it's, it doesn't look like it's producing any vegetables yet, but it's getting real close.
Getting there.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, this spring has been wet and cool, so it's delayed the planting a little bit, but not much. And
a lot better than last
but
year.
But it'll last a longer time into the late summer and fall. So that's kind of good. You know, there's beans, you know, bush beans, string beans. They are so good when they're fresh, and it's like no other place, you know, the best... This is the best Douglas County has to offer. It's good. It's all homegrown, and they're ready to go, and they've had a late start. But, hey, it's going to be going on for a few years. Is that it? We're done?
We are out of time.
I got three more pages of notes. You can't do that to me.
Save it for next week.
Thank you for listening. I will. I'll even add some more.
I get Jennifer in here.
I tried last week. I tried this week. And this week I didn't even see her. She wasn't there in the morning. But I got to get her in here for this bonsai class.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And the afternoon report is coming up. News Radio.